drugs together.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, Tokers and Tokats, and welcome. It is Friday, January 11th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's our first Friday of 2013. We are really looking forward to today's show and tonight's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Herb's back for 2 hours of live metal tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific right here at 420radio.org. All sorts of great stuff. An interview with Mike Dean from Corrosion of Conformity for you metal fans out there. You want to check out tonight's episode. Also, on today's show, so much to discuss. We are going to go into a radical rant today on Kevin Sabet's Project Sam. I've been talking about it all week, but I have some new developments. Kevin himself has been tweet-warring with me, and I'll give you the breakdown on that, plus the latest spoof sites that I have created to help take down Project Sam I Am. We'll take a look at that again in the radical rant at the end of the show. At half past the hour, well, today is the second Friday of the month, and that means it's time for our High Times magazine preview. Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times, will be joining us, and we'll also be previewing the Los Angeles Medical Cannabis Cup. We'll be there February 16th and 17th, covering it live right here at 420radio.org. We also have a daily toker tune for the day. It's Rockin' Friday, so Herb is going to call in, and we got some music from F5 to bring to you today, a song called Faded, and I'm sure it will really rock. But before we get to all of that, we've got to get to our 420 Radio News headlines. And in the headlines today, San Diego has finally surrendered its war on medical marijuana. A new poll is out from Maui Now on Hawaiians' views of marijuana legalization. In Colorado Springs, a dispensary owner is suing for $3.3 million, suing the county there. Marijuana tickets in the city of Chicago have netted less money than previously projected. And some sad news to report on the fate of the latest guard gator. All of that's coming up today on The Russ Belville Show, followed by Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111, where you can be a part of the voice of the marijuana nation. In hour two today, we got other stuff to look at as well, including some of the results of that marijuana prohibition that we're trying to end and why it's so important for us to end it as soon as possible. We're also hanging out with Brian the Red here in the studio. We're going to have ourselves a good time, so stick around.
You smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs with Mitch's most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News. I'm Russ Belville. San Diego surrenders its war on medical marijuana. This from the Christian Science Monitor. San Diego Mayor Bob Filner declared an end on Thursday to the city's legal war on medical pot with a letter to city authorities ordering civil prosecutors to, quote, stop the crackdown on marijuana dispensaries, end quote. Filner, a Democrat who was sworn in December 1st, said in the letter sent to the police chief, city attorney, and the city's neighborhood code compliance department that such shops could still be scrutinized for other code violations like any other business. Quote, until we have a new set of regulations for medical marijuana distribution, I have asked the neighborhood code compliance department and the police department to temporarily halt all prosecutions of city zoning code violations when it comes to medical marijuana dispensaries, end quote, Filner said in a statement. The announcement signals a sea change in dispensary prosecutions in California's second largest city with a population of 1.3 million. In 2011, the city attorney launched code enforcement action lawsuits against more than 100 medical marijuana dispensaries and shut most of them down. A new poll suggests Hawaii is pro-marijuana legalization. This from MauiNow.com. Voters in Hawaii are open to the legalization, taxation, and regulation of marijuana, according to the results of an opinion poll commissioned by the Drug Policy Action Group. Among its findings were the following. 78% support a dispensary system for medical marijuana. 69% think that jail time for marijuana offenses is inappropriate. 57% favor legalized, taxed, and regulated marijuana, 20% higher than the last poll conducted in 2005. Pamela Lichty, president of the Drug Policy Action Group, also presented highlights from a new report on the potential economic impacts of marijuana legalization, authored by David Nixon, associate professor at the University of Hawaii College of Social Sciences Public Policy Center. Among the findings were the following. Hawaii has seen a surge in marijuana arrests since 2004. Possession arrests have increased almost 50%, and distribution arrests have almost doubled. Hawaii's marijuana laws overly impact males under the age of 25 and people of Native Hawaiian descent. These groups were arrested in numbers disproportionate to their share of the population. By decriminalizing marijuana, Hawaii could redirect over $9 million annually in law enforcement costs. By legalizing, taxing, and regulating marijuana, Hawaii could conservatively add an additional estimated $11 million in yearly revenues. Colorado Springs owes $3.3 million after dispensary prosecution fails, attorney says. This from Westword.com. In March, Rocky Mountain Miracles owner Allie Hillary was hit with felony charges over alleged discrepancies in the Colorado Springs dispensary's plant count. She was cleared of these charges last month, and her attorney, Sean McAllister, issued a motion calling for material seized by authorities to be returned by Monday. It was not. So now he's laying the groundwork for a lawsuit against the city with damage demands expected to exceed $3 million. McAllister offers a quick summary of the case. Hillary was raided March 19th and 20th. She had about 1,300 marijuana plants, and police said she had 50 pounds of marijuana. But when they raided her, they said she was only allowed 700 plants and 18 pounds of marijuana. So they took away 600 plants and 35 pounds of marijuana. They just cut down the plants, and they grabbed the marijuana, whether it was cured, dried, and harvested, or wet and curing, said McAllister. The local police clearly didn't know the rule that only finished marijuana counts as inventory, and we estimate in our complaint that the plants and product they took was valued at $3.3 million. The figure is based on the DEA's own numbers, McAllister continues. They say every plant produces a pound. And a pound is worth $5,000. Chicago marijuana tickets. The city nets $98,000 in fines during the new law's first 5 months. Since the city of Chicago implemented its new marijuana ticketing law last August, it reportedly issued nearly 400 citations and netted nearly $98,000 worth of fines for low-level possession of the drug citywide. And finally, alligator-like reptile found guarding marijuana stash dies in the California Zoo. A 5-foot-long alligator-like reptile named Mr. Teeth, discovered guarding a stash of marijuana, has died in a veterinary hospital. The dwarf caiman, previously misidentified as an alligator, died the day after it was found. And that's your 420 Radio News for today, January 11th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the elites in the District of Columbia and their problems with marijuana etiquette. You're listening to 420radio.org, and this is the Russ Belville Show.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Respect the law, but know your rights. And share if you can.
Ask me any question, I'm gonna plead the fifth. Unless you asking me if I wanna smoke a spliff, then I'll be coming over. I'm gonna take a lift. You know I leave you feeling like you got a touch of the gift.
Yeah. Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little airy.
Brian, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And the headline I picked up today, I thought, deserved a whole lot of introspection. It's from the Washington Post, and the title of the article is "Mind If I Smoke? Taking on a New Meaning for DC Hosts." And full credit to Reason blog for picking this up. That's also where I got the link from. And we'll follow up with some of Reason's take on this. But let me just read from this Washington Post article. We had polished off dinner, tucked the kids into bed, and cracked open a bottle of wine. That's when our guest pulled out a tiny change purse and took from it what my husband and I thought was a cigarette. It was actually a joint. "This is my nightcap," she announced, lighting up and inhaling in a manner of milliseconds. "I hope you don't mind." My husband is not categorically opposed to marijuana, but he's not particularly keen on someone partaking in our vacation rental, with another set of renters downstairs and our children installed nearby on a blow-up mattress. So he pecked back, "That didn't sound like a question." It was an awkward moment, quickly brushed aside by our collective desire to keep an agreeable evening relatively agreeable, but it led us to wonder,
just what is the current etiquette on marijuana usage? A new challenge is figuring out how we're all supposed to navigate dinners, cocktail parties, barbecues, and cross-generational family get-togethers as more people liken puffing on a joint to sipping on a glass of wine, while others still consider it a malodorous habit that's best done not at all, or at least far from our house. Here in D.C., it is far from a partisan debate, something that both Republicans and Democrats struggle with. It's a cross-party issue, said a 27-year-old aide to a GOP congressman who, like many interviewed for this story, preferred not to give her name, further highlighting people's discomfort with this subject. She says she smokes often at home, but does so without telling her ultra-conservative 50-something boss, her coworkers, or even many of her friends. It's really hard to know how people stand on it, she says. An outreach director for a Northern Virginia nonprofit group found himself rejected when an elementary school teacher and good friend declined to attend one of his parties. The friend had suspected, correctly, that pot smoking would abound. She didn't want to be associated with it, the 25-year-old said, adding that the prospect of appearing on a tagged Facebook photo scared her off more than anything. Now, this continues, and there's more in this Washington Post story. I get invited to a Super Bowl party, but they don't invite me to the next party where there's going to be pot. And my neighborhood's prim and proper, and people would consider smoking around others disrespectful, and so forth. And they even refer to Jody R. Smith, who's the author of The Etiquette Book, A Complete Guide to Modern Manners, to get her take on what the etiquette should be in the Washington, D.C. cocktail set with regards to marijuana smoking. Well, Reason blog picked up on this, Reason.com. D.C. elites are worried about marijuana smoking etiquette, not so much about the drug war. Let me just read to you from this because he writes it up perfectly. If you've ever wondered why Washington, D.C. is so languorous about confronting our failed war on drugs, it's because there is no war on drugs in Washington, D.C. Not if you're white, that is. Every party I've been to since moving to D.C., so many parties, dear reader, featured pot. The party that G. Gordon Liddy's producer threw in Northern Virginia, people smoked pot there. The housewarming party hosted by an active duty Air Force officer, people smoked pot there too. I've seen an Obama speechwriter smoke pot and a McCain advisor smoke pot. And I even smoked pot with a congressional staffer whose boss was working on anti-marijuana legislation. All of us are going to hell. That's not to say D.C. is Haight-Ashbury. White elites can, if they're obnoxiously indiscreet, catch some heat. But even the heat is different. CBS reporter Howard Ehrenstein and his wife learned that in 2010 when a Georgetown neighbor called the cops to report the 11 massive stinky marijuana plants growing in Ehrenstein's backyard. In many states, 11 plants would be more than enough for jail time. In D.C., the arresting officer didn't bother to show up to Ehrenstein's hearing, so his charges were dropped. Is it any wonder that pot-smoking elites in D.C. worry more about party fouls than the externalities of the drug war? As far as these people are concerned, there is no drug war. And I'm going to follow up on that with some stats, because you know me, I look this shit up. D.C. leads the nation in per capita marijuana arrests, crime stats show. This from the Washington City paper from 2010, so the stat may have changed since then. A federal study estimates 78,000 people use pot in Washington, D.C. That's about 13% of the population, and more than a quarter of 18 to 25-year-olds said they'd smoked pot. But the arrest rate, the people in D.C., is much higher. African Americans are 8 times as likely to be arrested for their marijuana use in Washington, D.C. than white Americans. 91% of all marijuana arrests in Washington, D.C. are blacks, even though 12.2% of blacks smoke pot in D.C. compared to 10.5% of whites. And again, that's those who will admit it to a pollster who is calling from the federal government to inquire as to whether or not they are breaking state and federal and district drug laws. So yeah, Washington, D.C. elites, I know that's white people problems y'all got to worry about. Oh no, should I ask whether or not I can smoke this joint at this party? Meanwhile, blocks away from your cocktail party, people are being shot and killed and are dying over this war on drugs. People that are medical marijuana patients who have been waiting since 1998 when 69% of the people of D.C. voted for medical marijuana. These patients in D.C. are still going through all the suffering, still having to jump through all the hoops, and still waiting for this program to finally be implemented the way the voters had chosen it to be. So check that story out on the Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com. And remember, you can get a look at all of my lists of all these headlines that we go over on the show by going to news.radicalrus.com. That's my little blog highlighter out there, and you can get the links to all these stories. But that time means it's time to take a break. Brian looks busy over there doing something.
Oh, you know me. Loading.
Getting ready, preparing. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
John! Good lunch?
Looks like you're enjoying your lunch.
Yeah.
Do I just say something like, sup, man, or...
You get those expense reports done? Alright, I'm telling you, man.
I just completely forgot this guy's name. What? What the fuck is his name?
I don't get them done until, like, until 30 or 35 minutes.
His name is like Richard or something. Something like that. Richard.
Expense reports. You know, boring things. Office-y things. You know. I have nothing of value to say at all to anyone. But I'm going to keep talking for fear that, you know,
does my hair smell like sticky ganj?
This will envelop me. I will go revert to a state of childhood anguish.
You know, I wonder what he'd do if I just clocked him in the fucking face right now.
Politics. You know, you, me,
Fuck, I forgot there was a person talking to me right now.
Boss, me.
Say something like, you know, yeah, for sure, man, or something.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
Nailed it!
Information about myself that you don't want to hear that's strangely personal. Like,
wait, did I just say nailed it out loud?
Because my parents were Buddhists. What do you think about the amount of time I've chosen to just stand here and talk at you? It's like not okay.
I'm baked like a cake, I'm high as heck. I'm gonna have a barbecue with my Nancy.
Hey, John. Whoa.
Earth to John?
What the fuck is your name, man?
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, I've been waiting all week for this segment, so I can say, Roll Tide.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Are you starting us off on just the best note today or what? Do it one more time.
Roll Tide.
Oh, man, that's tough right there. That's some good stuff right there.
We got Herb Thrasher on the line here for Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes. I don't even have to ask if how you're doing because I know how you're doing.
Oh, man, it's been a great week. As you mentioned, my Alabama Crimson Tide decided to go on and just demolish this team, not even just beat them, just demolish Notre Dame for the 15th national championship. And it's just been a great week, launch of 420 Radio and the launch of SAM. And it's just been so much good stuff going on.
I'll let everyone know that I called it. I called the blowout.
No, you did. You did. And, you know, most Bama fans, we all wanted to call this blowout, but we couldn't. it wasn't proper, it wasn't ethical, and plus there was this one side of, you know, you have to still play the game, but
yeah.
We all felt that this wasn't the team. If you talk to 9 out of 10 Alabama fans, they wanted Oregon. They felt like Oregon should be in that game.
Yep.
And I think after the game, 10 out of 10 college football fans would agree.
Yeah, I'm saying that the K-State-Oregon game and the Alabama-Notre Dame game, great semifinals. Let's get those two winners onto a national championship.
That's a great way to put it. And we'll definitely talk a little bit more about this tonight on Earth Thrasher Flower Hour, second hour at 9 p.m. Pacific. We'll definitely talk about the national title and a little bit of NFL playoffs going on, and we might start getting our updates of bowling coming back.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yay.
Good times. First hour, go rock with a little bit of Corrosion of Conformity. I have a great interview that I did with Mike Dean back in December, and we knew that we was about to go out of town, so we basically talked about 213 stuff, and so we'll get him on tonight and air that and air some great music, talk a little bit about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, new inductees, and all kinds of stuff. So you hope you guys join us tonight. And now, the reason we're here is for Rockin' Friday on the Russ Bevel Show. And you know this band right here, I don't have a lot of information on. In fact, they're not even really a band anymore. And what the deal is with this band is a certain bigger band by the name of Megadeth.
Oh, yes.
Some of you might have heard of them. The bass player, David Ellison, when he was kicked out or left, depending on who you talk to, Megadeth, he joined another band that was called F5. And so they're based out of Phoenix. And now he has been called back to Megadeth in the past couple of years. And so that's why F5 is kind of not in the ranks anymore. Mm. But their album, A Drug for All Seasons, was released in North America back in September of 2005 on Cleopatra Records. And the song that we got today is Faded, and it's just good stuff. Another Jimmy DeGrasso, he was the drums for Megadeth there for a little while. And so it felt like it was a good song to kind of get us on. Everyone likes to be a little faded, and it's going to be freaking faded after you guys hear the Earth Passion Flower Hour tonight. So you guys keep rocking. Join us tonight at 8 o'clock, 420radio.org. Turn it up, folks.
See you.
Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollaway, rollaway.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belleville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour here, and we're joined by Dave Bienenstock, who's on the line with us. How are you doing, Dave?
Coming up on 420 on the West Coast, I'd say I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah,
how about
doing,
you?
Doing fantastic myself. We got the launch of our new 420radio.org, and we're really happy to have you on board with us. Thanks for being here today. We got two things to cover today. Of course, the new issue of High Times Magazine is coming out. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the event coming up next month, the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's going to be February 16th and 17th. We're returning to the L.A. Center Studios, which anytime they'll have us back, we are always happy about that.
Yeah.
Bigger, better. I've really fallen in love with the whole scene down there. So I'm always personally just looking forward to seeing people. You know, sometimes I haven't seen them since last year. More food trucks.
good.
So I think that's going to be popular. We talked to the people at the cream puff truck last year. They ran out of cream puffs, and I would say that was the biggest bummer of the event last year, and they are prepared to make sure that does not happen this year.
Yeah, there should just be a notice that goes out to all food truck and food vendors that if you're going to be at one of these High Times events, bring double.
Yeah, well, I said to them, you know, I was actually in line to get a cream puff, and I said to them, hey, you know, did you guys, you know, maybe bring more than you would normally? And they looked at each other and said, yeah, we did.
Oh, really? You know? Well, never underestimate the power of the THC to stimulate some appetite.
Yeah, they were very good cream puffs as well. So we also, you know, we have a great lineup of speakers, As we always really strive to do. We're going to have a screening of The House I Live In, possibly with the director of that documentary, and he's interviewed in this issue of the magazine. I definitely encourage your listeners to check that documentary about the drug war out when they get a chance. And Tommy Chong will be inducted into he will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. You know, he is now, in addition to his activism and his entertaining a medical marijuana patient, using it to treat his cancer. So, and he's definitely somebody with a definite friend of High Times, and we're happy to honor him.
Absolutely. And usually at these events, we have some sort of musical guests that appear. I know one of the ones we did, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, did a great set. And there's been all Eagles of Death Metal were at one of these things one time. Do you got any musical plans?
You know what? Let me just ask my. It either just was finalized or it's about to be finalized. So, Elisa, who is the music ready? It's going to be The Game. Hip hop artist, The Game.
Redman.
who is definitely a favorite of mine, and Karma to Burn. So
wow.
That is our musical lineup.
All right, The Game, Redman, and Karma to Burn. You heard it first right here on the Russ Belville Show on 420 Radio.
I heard it first. On the Russ Belville Show,
I was talking to you. Oh, so it's going to be a great event, folks. And not only do you get to see like all the vendors that are there, every year I go, and everyone I go to, now that there's like four, you guys doing four this year? Is that the plan?
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, so we got Denver, Los Angeles, Bay Area, and Seattle, I'd imagine. So, you know, every time I go to one of these, and I go and I look around and I take some B-roll of the vendors, and there's always a vendor there with something that blows my mind, something new that I just saw that, wow, I never thought of that. One time it was the Flash Fog guys. You know, they had that security that does the fogging. I thought that was amazing. So you'll get to see all these great vendors, all the newest and latest and greatest. You'll get to meet people from the nonprofits and the doctors and the people that are working on this stuff and talk to them face to face and get your questions answered. And of course, all the panels and speakers that you'll see at this event, you're going to learn more than you thought you could know while having a great time doing it. So check that out. Now, Dave, as far as this event goes, you know, it's a medical cannabis cup. So how does it differ than the Amsterdam cup as far as judging and the medicine itself? And what requirements are there to attend this cup?
Sure. Well, obviously, it's not Amsterdam, and I would have to say it's not even Denver. So it's you know, there are no coffee shops. There is, you know, marijuana is not being sold. But, you know, to attend the event is open to anyone 18 and over. There is a medicating area portion of the event, which is open to California medical marijuana patients only.
Okay.
So that's the biggest difference there.
Yeah, I think, you know, some people hear it's a medical cannabis cup and they think, oh, well, I'm not a patient, I can't go. No, you can go. You just can't go to that part. That's all. All right, so
yeah.
All the information people need for this is up on the web, right? MedCanCup.com?
MedCanCup.com is the place to go.
All right, now you mentioned the new issue of High Times magazine and the interview that's going to be in that. What's our cover story, and how will people? What else will they find in the magazine this month?
Well, I have to say, my favorite, you know, I've been with High Times about 10 years. My favorite cover line is what we call the things we put on the cover, the haze craze, you know, to try to get you to buy the magazine and tell you what's inside it. And my favorite cover line of all my time here is on this issue, which is, pot is legal, see page 82. That I'm looking at it right now. And it makes me happy. You know, I've been happy since the election. So this is, it has our feature called Legalized It, about the election, and also really looking forward to what's going to happen next. Which I don't know about you, but I've been personally pretty encouraged about how things have gone since the election. I mean, obviously the results were amazing. From then to now, I've just continue to be very encouraged by the progress we continue to make and how it does seem to be spreading to other states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one of the first things that happened after the successful election in Washington State is the Oregonian, our largest newspaper here in Portland, Oregon, their editorial board, which has, you know, always been anti even medical marijuana in a lot of respects, came out and said that the legislature needs to do something about legalizing, or else we're just going to come back with another initiative and pass it. So, I mean, that is a sea change in what we've usually expected in rhetoric from that paper. And I'm seeing similar results across the nation. Are you seeing that in California?
I think that California is slowly waking up to the fact that, you know, I'm a transplant to California of just a few years, but one of the things that really drew me out here and that I get out here is that California likes to innovate, and California likes to be an exporter of ideas, and I think we feel a little bit behind right now, so I think that there's going to be a tremendous push for legalization here, seeing it in New York State. I think you really have to give it to Jack Herrera, because it is one instance of screaming, "The Emperor has no clothes." And it's in that story, as soon as that kid screams that, everybody starts saying it. And I think that's what Colorado and Washington have done for the rest of the country. You know, it's created that space for everybody who's thought this for a long time in politics, but not had the courage or the convictions or maybe the political ability to talk about it, are now talking about it. And it's great.
And how much better that it's two kids screaming out that the Emperor has no clothes, not just one. Hey, David,
yeah, exactly.
You reminded me there as well about your ebook that's out, Legalized It. And I was wondering if you give us an update on that and tell folks how they can get a hold of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's available on Amazon, and although, you know, I'm not a huge supporter of Amazon, but that is one place you could get it. Anywhere you can get ebooks, you can find it. If you are a Facebook person, there is, if you search for Legalized It, there's an app that gives you a little bit of excerpts from the ebook. There's a quiz you can take about legalization that's very fun, and you could share with your friends. There's poll questions, so a lot of stuff like that. That's one cool way. You know, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can get ebooks. It's called Legalized It, and I do hope people would enjoy it.
That's right, Legalized It, past tense, people. Make sure you don't forget.
Yeah, that was, I have to say, it's, Mason Tvert was our Freedom Fighter of the Year in Amsterdam this year, and I got to introduce him. And I'm telling, you know, lots of people, of course, knew who he was, and some people didn't. You know, it's a very international crowd, so everyone, I had people from Poland and Czechoslovakia and South America that spoke one word of English as I was checking them in. Colorado. Washington. You know, I would just hear, just smiling, just like no sentence. No, you know, attempt. I don't speak English. I just want to say to you the word Colorado. I just want to say to you the word Washington and smile and thumbs up as I get my ticket, you know. But so when I was introducing Mason, I said, "I'm going to say legal, and you say lies it." And everyone, yeah. And then I said, no, legalized it. And yeah, that feels good to say.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Legalized It is available as an ebook. Check that out on Amazon or other places where you can find these ebooks. And from a fully embedded High Times reporter, so you're getting down to, you know, what went behind the scenes in Washington and Colorado, right?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's great that there's so many more people writing about marijuana in a positive and at least reasonable, fact-based way. But, you know, we've been at this for a long time. So, you know, I would hope that, you know, if people are looking to really delve into the subject, they'll continue to look towards a source that, you know, sees marijuana very in-depth. And I think that's what I can hopefully offer people. Just to round out what's in the issue real quick, because it's a good one. We're all real proud of it. We have a feature on pot in the NFL.
Oh, good.
Which, you know, with the playoffs coming up now and, you know, how it relates to the players and how it could really be a good thing for these guys who face a lot of injuries, who face a lot of potential brain trauma. And, you know, marijuana is a proven neuroprotectant. Mm-hmm. It's certainly going to have better outcomes for these guys than using tons and tons of pain pills, which you can imagine what a person who plays in the NFL goes through. Pain-wise.
Oh, yeah, and just to add to that real quick, they just got the results back from Junior Seau's autopsy and found all sorts of terrible structural damage to the brain that, again, a neuroprotectant might help.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I understand that's a little bit far out for some people, but it's true, you know? But the other argument of why are we forcing these athletes who we say we admire to use, it's like you're not going to play in the NFL and not be in pain. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an option. So your option is, how am I going to manage this pain? And we're saying to these guys, not only is it illegal, but you could potentially lose your livelihood of millions of dollars if you choose to use this natural pain reliever that's proven. So, you know, that anyway, it's a very interesting article, and it's, you know, I think something that will start to develop along with legalization. I think there will be players, you know, who is the guy from the Dallas Cowboys who later worked with Normal?
Oh, Mark Stepnoski.
Mark Stefanowski. You know, I think he was so ahead of the curve on that, and I know from his High Times interview and everything, that was one of the things that led him to speak out, was just seeing the epidemic of pharmaceutical painkillers among his, you know, the people he played with in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, looking at the NFL playoffs here, what do you think of the chances of Denver-Seattle, the first legal Super Bowl?
Oh, man, it's, you know, I'm an East Coast guy, and I'll root for the Giants or the Jets, and they're both out. So that is definitely where my rooting is happening these days. And I just think it would be tremendous. And I also root for them because I want, you know, lawmakers in both states right now are working out the rules of what legalization is going to look like, and you know, I want them to be in a good mood. So
there we
yeah,
go.
We should all get behind Denver and the Seahawks.
As a Packers fan, I have to root for the Seahawks just to make it to Lambeau so they can get crushed. But other than that, I'm with you. Hey, and the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is about being the fully embedded reporter here. I really do hope, you know, you make a good point, and I really do hope the media starts to take a look at High Times and others of us who've been so-called alternative media for so long, because I'm starting to see stories now that the media is forced to cover marijuana. I'm seeing stories with all sorts of just simple, you know, simple errors, like, you know, calling cannabidiol cannabinoid and you know, things like that, just obviously not even doing the first grade research on marijuana. So I really hope your ebook and our continued reporting informs them a bit.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting to hear, you know, read the response from the drug czar, which I took as very positive. You know, he's the drug czar. He's not wavy gravy. But right, he right. said, it's clear that there's a serious discussion going on. Well, guess what? Dude, we've been having a serious discussion into a vacuum for 40 years.
Right.
And you guys have been spouting nonsense and obvious lies. So it's like, I'm glad that you are aware of this conversation, but it didn't just, you know, arise out of nowhere. Anyway.
Yeah, one final thing before we go. High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly. Can you give us an update on that?
We are actually in the converting to an all-digital magazine. So that is the one that's on the newsstands now is an excellent issue. I really like it. It's a special delivery, and it has a article about delivery services, basically a lot of places, you know, as a response to the government's crackdowns and stuff have gone delivery, and it's a great option for a lot of patients. So I encourage people to check out the issue that's on the newsstands, and then from there we're going to be going to an all-digital format, which in a lot of ways will, I think, help us spread the word about the science and the culture around medical marijuana even wider than our print publication let us. So I'm excited about it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Dave Bienenstock, West Coast editor, High Times Magazine. We'll see you next month down there in L.A.
Oh, looking forward to it.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of radical rant. I get into it with Kevin Sabet once again. Oh, boy. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't have
handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Okay, I had to pull up a few pictures and websites to get ready for this one, because once again, Kevin Sabet is on my radar. The Joker to my Batman. I'm never going away, Kevin. I'm never going away. Just a little story to tell about this afternoon, actually this morning. Of course, Project Sam, we've been talking about it all week. Smart approaches to marijuana. The new Goldilocks stunt that Kevin Sabet and David Frum and Patrick J. Kennedy are trying to pull off to continue the war on drugs. Basically, the goal here is a strategic retreat in the war on drugs, as Ethan Nadelman called it, to give up on some of the things like stop and frisks and mandatory minimums and completely denying that marijuana has no medical value. They're going to give up on those obvious failures, but continue a regime of arresting and prosecuting marijuana users and growers and sellers and distributors and traffickers. It's what I've called in the past the kinder, gentler drug war. And part of it, as has been revealed this week, and Marijuana Policy Project put up a blog on this, and Mason Tevert in Colorado did a press conference before their press conference to address this. And it's basically at its heart, their goal here is that they say marijuana users would be forced into rehabs. Now, they don't say it exactly that way, but their goal here is to make sure that if you're caught with marijuana, you have to go to required interventions and assessments and rehabilitations and re-educations. Basically, they want to give you a rehab that you neither need nor want. They want to force you to do something you don't ask for, and the force behind it is the threat of a jail cell, just like it's always been. So, you know, this is what's being mocked by those of us here in the drug reform community, and we want to just make this obvious to those people who might be fooled by this kinder, gentler rhetoric. Now, in response to this, I've had a Twitter account for a while called Not Kevin Sabet, and at Not Kevin Sabet, Sabet, Not Kevin Sabet, and you can follow that. And whenever Kevin Sabet tweets something out, I twist it sarcastically and tweet it out as Not Kevin Sabet. Like when he says, you know, we're happy about Patrick Kennedy joining us, I tweet out, we're happy about Patrick Kennedy joining us. Nobody knows more about marijuana than an oxy addict. Right. So I can be sarcastic and satirical with this account. So I was thinking, I wonder if Smart Approaches to Marijuana has a Twitter account. And it turned out they did not. Well, they do. They have one. It's a Learn About Sam, I think, is their Twitter account. But I went to check to see if Smart Approaches was taken, and lo and behold, it was not. So I registered today. Smart Approaches, if you follow at Smart Approaches on Twitter, and what I've been doing with it, I'm only tweeting out from Smart Approaches their actual policy goals, the things they actually believe. Now, sometimes I have to shorten it for Twitter because it's 140 characters, right? But I keep the spirit of what they're saying. In other words, I'm not trying to distort or twist in any way what they are standing for. So let me give you a rundown on the tweets that I had from my new account, at Smart Approaches. And these are things straight from their website. This is their belief, so take it. Possession or use of a small amount of marijuana should be a civil offense subject to mandatory health screening and education program. Pot smokers could even be monitored for 6 to 12 months in a probation program designed to prevent further drug use. No marijuana use in any form should be permitted in public view. Production, distribution, dealing, and sale of marijuana should remain misdemeanors or felonies based on the amounts possessed. Driving with any amount of marijuana in one's system should be at least a misdemeanor and result in mandatory health assessment. For those who have not progressed to full marijuana addiction, interventions may range from 1 to 12 sessions of substance use intervention. We call for the end of cannabis clubs and so-called dispensaries that are fronts for marijuana stores. We support an emergency program that allows seriously ill patients to obtain non-smoked components of marijuana before final FDA approval. that smoked marijuana isn't medicine doesn't mean we should not pursue cannabis-based medicines in the form of pills. Current medical marijuana programs are a joke. The vast majority, 94%, reported severe pain. From 2007 to 2011, the National Institutes of Health provided more than $14 million for cannabinoid research. To prove its harms, mostly. But smoking pot affects memory, learning, attention, and reaction time. These effects can last up to 28 days after abstinence from use. Since 1990, more people in the United States have gone to the emergency room after using marijuana, even though overall numbers of users remain stable. Marijuana use can cause an increase in the risk of heart attack more than fourfold in the hour after use. Marijuana smoke contains 50 to 70% more carcinogenic hydrocarbons than does tobacco smoke. Marijuana use is significantly linked with mental illness, especially schizophrenia and psychosis, but also depression and anxiety. Is marijuana addictive? Yes, especially today's marijuana, which is between 4 and 5 times stronger than the weed of the 1960s to 1970s. None of this means we need to lock people up for using marijuana. Just force them into rehab and threaten them with locking them up if they don't. So that's the tweets that I sent out today from @smartapproaches. Every single one of those cut and paste directly from their policy statements, directly from their website. But in reaction to that, the Joker to my Batman, Kevin Sabet, responded. He was none too happy. He says, this is from Kevin Sabet's Twitter feed today, @KevinSabet, you can follow. F you reply to @SmartApproaches, @DavidFrom, @PJK for brain health. Interesting that you are mocking us and parodying what we are doing. Shame on you, Russ. @RadicalRuss, @DavidFrom, @PJK for brain health. So let me get this straight. You think it is okay to misrepresent us and parody us? Good luck with that. Yes, Thomas, it's sad that pro-marijuana advocates have to resort to parodies and name-calling. No, you'd think that you would be civil and normal, Russ. You are relegating yourself to a weird place. Good luck. Well, if I am to be relegated to a weird place, that weird place is the same place Jonathan Swift, Mark Twain, and many, many other satirists have occupied, and I will be more than happy to occupy that space with them. And as far as being civil and being normal, strange how I get a little uncivil when someone proposes forcing me into a re-education camp, Kevin. I do not need rehab. Most pot smokers do not need rehab. And as someone who really does believe in helping people with serious drug problems, as a child of a drug addict who watched his father try to kick cold turkey for 3 weeks, screaming at hallucinations and sleeping in his own vomit, as someone who understands how drug rehab, detox, inpatient treatment, Narcotics and Alcoholics Anonymous helped my father live, I understand that wasting a rehab bed on me is taking it away from a tweaker, a junkie, a cokehead, or an alcoholic. And I will not be civil as you continue to peddle lies, misinformation, and keep trying to put me in a cage. You want civil? End the arrests. Legalize marijuana. Treat it like we treat tequila. That's all the time I got, but you can bet I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this in hour two. Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Have yourselves a great weekend. See you on Herb Thrasher at 8 o'clock tonight. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.
did it go down smooth.